We are continuing on in the book of Colossians. We started, several weeks ago. There's a verse that we're working on memorizing, and let's stand up, since you've been up around anyway, but let's stand up and we'll read it together. It's Colossians 1:18. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. And we'll try it once more. Colossians 1:18. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. How are you doing? Getting it? All right, you can be seated. It's getting there. Yeah, me too. Last week we looked at verses 9 through 11. It says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, strengthened with all power by His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." My prayer for you, my prayer for us, is that we would grow in the knowledge of God, that that would be the focus of our lives. And that verse goes through and lists the things that will appear in our lives as we do that. That we will walk worthy of the Lord. That we will bear fruit. That we will increase in our knowledge of God. We will give thanks to the Father. That's what I'd like for us to look at today, is verses 12 and 13, which focus on giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of light. For He delivered us from the domain of darkness, and He transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Giving thanks is an Old Testament term here in this verse. It has to do with praising God, confessing Him as Lord, remembering His mighty acts. Psalm 33, is that what you read? Talked about that this morning. 43? Okay, the one John read, how's that? Talks about remembering His deeds. We have a tendency to forget. Part of the reason we celebrate communion, we need to remember Jesus' death. We need a reminder, all of us do. And that's what this is saying, remember, to give thanks to the Father. Remember His mighty acts. Let's look at Psalm 77. Psalms are a good place to go, giving thanks. Psalm 77, 11 and 12 says, "I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate on all thy work and muse on thy deeds." Muse. Not a word we use very often. My wife's grandma used the word ponder. That kind of goes along with it. Take time. Think about. Ponder. Muse. Mull over. Go over in your mind His amazing deeds. Psalm 50, verse 14. Tells us, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Pay your vows to the Most High." And then Psalm 92, verse 1, says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Thy name, O Most High." Thanking the Lord for what He's done. Ephesians, New Testament, 5:20 says, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God, even the Father." In Colossians, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." And then Hebrews, "Through Him, then, Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. We need to remember, give thanks to the Father. We need that reminder. It is good. But how many times do we forget? Our speech, our songs, our prayers, all should be filled with thanksgiving to His name. Over in Romans 1:21, it's very interesting what this verse says about people that don't know the Lord. The sign, how they appear. Romans 1:21 says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks." What's the characteristic of someone who doesn't know the Lord? They don't give thanks. They don't realize and recognize who it is. 1 Thessalonians, "In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Again, share and inheritance, it's an Old Testament idea. When the children of Israel, they were in bondage and slavery in the land of Egypt, God came, rescued them, took them out of that slavery, brought them to the promised land. When they got there, there were 12 tribes, and they had to decide who got which part of the land. So they cast lots. Kind of drew numbers is kind of the thing to decide which tribe would go where. This is a picture of that. Their inheritance was the land. And God has an inheritance for us by His grace. Many, many times when we pray, let's see, God, I need this and I need this and I'd really like for that to happen. And oh, yeah, thanks. How many times do we do that? We forget. And this verse today, as we look at it, will help us to remember why. Reasons to give thanks. More than just a thing stuck on the end. Thank Him for the air we breathe. Have you ever thought about that? What if we didn't have oxygen? It'd be done. But it's there every day. I think one of my kids, well, we finally got to see the sunset over Lake Superior a couple nights ago. We made it. We were down there and we watched it go all the way down. God put some clouds that looked like mountains, so we were happy. And then I think it was yesterday, one of them said something about, well, maybe if it goes down again tonight, we should go watch. And it was like, it will go down. It will go down. We know that, whether we see it or not. It's going to come up this tomorrow morning, every day it's there. Now, we may not see it. There may be clouds, but it's there. Do we thank Him for those things? It's by His grace that we have anything, that we have clothes to wear, that we have food to eat. Now, giving thanks is easy when everything's going good. We forget more easily, but what about when things are going bad? When we're struggling, when we have trials, does this verse change? No. How can we be thankful when things are bad? What do we do? It's a whole lot easier to joyously give thanks when things are good. So what can we be thankful for when things aren't so good? This verse again tells us, give thanks to the Father who has qualified us. That's the first thing that we can always give thanks for. We're qualified. Anybody here ever felt unqualified? Yep. All right. Do people, as you read through the Bible, are there people in the Bible that felt unqualified? There's actually quite a list up there. Did you know Moses felt unqualified? When he was at the burning bush, he said, let somebody else do it. I can't talk. I can't do this. Moses felt unqualified. Think of all that God did through his life. First five books of the Bible were written by somebody that couldn't talk. We have that recorded for us. John the Baptist felt unqualified, hugely, because of who he had to announce, the Messiah, the King. He felt and was, and we are, unqualified. He said he wasn't worthy to untie his shoes. Paul felt unqualified. Again, major part of the New Testament written by Paul. But he was a persecutor of the church, a murderer. He felt unqualified. Many of us struggle with this. Who am I? Who am I? The Greek word is to be made sufficient, to empower, to authorize, to make fit before a holy God. We can be qualified through the Messiah's finished work. Scripture says, before we were dead in trespasses, we lived in the lusts of our flesh, we indulged the desires of our flesh, we were separate from Christ, we walked in the futility of our minds, we walked with darkened understanding, we were excluded from the life of God, and we had hard hearts. Nice picture, huh? But we can be qualified before God when we repent and when we trust Him. Of all the places that we should feel unqualified is before God. He's perfect. He never has made a mistake and never will. But through Christ's work on the cross for us, it says we're qualified. Qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. He adopted us as sons and daughters, made us qualified. When things aren't going well, you're stuck in the hospital for weeks, we can say thank you because I am qualified to share. We're qualified to have an inheritance. So it's an inheritance of the saints in light. I remember, most of you know, we've adopted a bunch of kids. And one of the first, I think it was, I don't remember the order, the two oldest boys, Mike and Richard. For their adoptions, instead of being in the courtroom, the judge took us back to his chambers. And there was a big meeting table, and we sat back there. They asked the usual question, are you good people? Will you take care of these kids? And we said we would. He also said, once you adopt a kid, you can never disinherit them. It is a legal arrangement. So guess what, guys? You'll never be disinherited. Of course, when you divide it between 12 and you consider how much we have, don't get your hopes up. Won't be too much. But we have an inheritance with God to share with the saints. Won't be fought over. There's enough for everyone. There's enough to go around. The Greek, again, literally says, for a portion of the lot. Again, to that drawing of lots for the land in Israel. The inheritance. Some of us have gone through inheritance with our parents. I remember when my dad passed away and trying to split up and it's not a fun job. Going through the house. Who gets what? And I remember my dad in the will, he wrote down, if you fight, you get nothing. So every time we started getting frustrated with each other, we remembered, no fighting. And then when it got down to, well, I want this and my brother wants this same thing, and we drew numbers. We had to do something, some way, to figure it out. Israel's inheritance was done that way as well, by casting lots. The lot has been cast. If you have repented and trusted in Jesus as your Savior, you have the best inheritance possible through what Jesus did for us. Our inheritance consists of eternal life. Just a little thing, you know, just forever with God in eternity, never too hot or too cold or too much snow or not enough snow, or eternity with Him in the best possible place. That's an inheritance. 1 Peter tells us that it's reserved in heaven for us. Hebrews, the promise of eternal inheritance. It's not something that's going to fade or break or get old and shrivel up. An eternal inheritance with Him. Inheritance in light, it says. In the Bible, light is talking about truth and purity. Our inheritance is in the light. It's the truth. It's pure. It's holy. It's an amazing thing that we have. In Acts, it says, I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. An inheritance reserved in heaven for all those who repent and trust in Jesus. That's an inheritance that will never change, that is sure. Why should we give thanks? Because God's qualified us. Not because of our works, because of who we are, but because of who He is. And He's qualified us for an eternal inheritance with Him. Then verse 13, more reasons to give thanks. For He delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Frederick Douglass grew up as a slave in Maryland. In the early 19th century, experienced slavery's brutality. He was taken from his mother when he was only an infant. For years as a child, all he had to eat was runny cornmeal dumped in a trough that kids fought to scoop out with oyster shells. He worked in the hot fields from sunup until sundown. He was whipped many times with a cowhide whip until the blood ran down his back. Kicked and beaten by his master until he almost died. Attacked with a spike by a gang of whites. But even so, when Frederick considered trying to escape to freedom, he struggled with the decision. Think about that. After all he'd been through, he still struggled with escaping to freedom. He writes in the narrative of the life of Frederick Douglass, an American slave, that he had two great fears. The first was leaving behind his friends. He wrote, I had a number of warm-hearted friends in Baltimore, friends that I loved almost as I did my life, and the thought of being separated from them forever was painful beyond expression. It's my opinion that thousands would escape from slavery who now remain, but for the strong cords of affection that bind them to their friends. Interesting. Even in the midst of that, he wanted to hold on to what he had, the friends. His second fear was this. If I failed in this attempt, my case would be a hopeless one. It would seal my fate as a slave forever. He was afraid it wouldn't work. He couldn't leave his master. Today, people who find themselves in slavery to sin, who think about escaping to freedom in Christ, may have similar friends. They may fear leaving behind friends. They may fear they'll fail in their attempt to break from sin and live free for God. They should take heart. From Frederick Douglass. On September 3rd, 1838, he remembers, I left my chains, succeeded in reaching New York without the slightest interruption of any kind. I have been frequently asked how I felt when I found myself in a free state. It was a moment of the highest excitement I've ever experienced. I felt like one who had escaped a den of hungry lions. Imagine that day. Free at last. We have the Old Testament picture of the children of Israel Imagine that first day that they'd been in slavery for over 400 years in Egypt. The Egyptians were cruel taskmasters. The Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. They had plague after plague after plague. Finally, the firstborn were killed. And he says, get out of here. And they headed out. Imagine that first day waking up. We're free. Freedom has come. Romans 6 talks about us, you and I, and the slavery we have to sin. We're held in chains of bondage to sin, helpless to break them. But God the Father delivers us. He brings deliverance. He makes the way possible through what Jesus did on the cross for us. When we repent, when we turn from our sins, when we pray and trust Him as the only way, deliverance is available to us. That's reason to give thanks. We can give thanks because we're qualified. We're qualified to share in the best inheritance possible. We give thanks because deliverance is available. It's available to us through what Christ did for us. And then it says, He delivered us from the domain of darkness and He transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. The mighty act of salvation is our reason for thanksgiving. He transferred us from darkness to light. We lived in the domain of darkness, and by His death, by His shed blood on the cross, we are now transferred into the kingdom of light. We know about being transferred in this life. Get transferred in a job and you have to move from here to there. This is a good transfer. Kind of like moving from Colorado to Michigan. It's a good transfer. Good change. Transferred from darkness to light. Moved from the kingdom of Satan to God's kingdom. Subject to Him now. We have a new citizenship. The only way that happens is through forgiveness. The only way we can have forgiveness is repentance and trusting Him. And that's only found in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the life of a slave? What it would be like? You're at your master's beck and call whether you feel like it or not. You have to do it and you have to do it right or you're in bad trouble. Imagine as a slave, you're up on the auction block and everybody's staring at you. They check your teeth like a horse. They make sure they check, well, I'm in trouble there. Strength, that kind of thing. They look you over just like an animal. And then the auctioneer starts the bidding. And you're up there waiting for people to bid. And you don't want anybody to bid. But if nobody bids, what's that say about you? And then somebody bids. And then another bid and another bid. And finally the winning bid comes and your master comes up to claim his prize. And you're going, is he mean? Is he nice? What's life going to be? And the master gives you freedom. You're not a slave. You're no longer in the kingdom of a slave. You are in the kingdom of sons and daughters. Can you imagine? You'd be like Frederick Douglass. What's happening? How can this be? I don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. I don't have to walk in darkness. Jesus made the way that we can be in light. We've been transferred from the old way to the new way. This word transferred in the Greek again has the idea of emancipation. Set free. The ransom's been paid. We've been delivered. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, "In Him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through His blood. We are redeemed. The price has been paid. The forgiveness of our trespasses, our sins are gone. According to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us." God's grace. Reason to give thanks. We have been pardoned. The penalty has been paid in full. Our sins have been sent away. As far as the east is from the west. Whichever way you know. Further than we can imagine. Thank you. As far as the east is from the west. They've been thrown into the depths of the sea. If any of you remember Corrie Ten Boom, she liked to add to that verse, which is not a good idea to add to Scripture, but it fits. Our sins are thrown in the depths of the sea, and God put up a no fishing sign. They're gone. That's reason to give thanks. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. That's reason to give thanks. Let's bow our heads. Let's think about this for a minute. My first question I'd like you to consider is, have you been qualified? Have you been transferred? Have you been delivered? Has there been a time in your life when you have repented and turned from your sin and trusted in Jesus Christ? If you've never done that, if you'd like to do that today, would you just simply raise your hand and put it back down so I can pray for you? You want to repent and trust Jesus as your Savior. Thank you. Those of us who have, are you giving thanks? Take a minute right now, just in the quietness. Give thanks to God for your deliverance. Give thanks to Him for your inheritance. Give thanks that you've been qualified, that you've been transferred. Father, we thank You. We thank You for what You did for us through Your Son. That You took on human flesh and lived among us. You never sinned. You went as the spotless Lamb and died in our place to pay the penalty we were powerless to pay ourselves. Thank You. Thank You that You've qualified us for the inheritance of eternal life. Thank You that You've delivered us from the power of sin in our lives. Thank You that You've transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to Your kingdom of light. Father, help us, remind us to give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.